When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So yesterday, the Juan Soto press conference happens. The first thing I see as he walks into the room is he taps John Heyman on the belly as he walked right by, which was unbelievable. And it's the only guy, because a bunch of people lined up as he's walking past him, and John Heyman was the only one who ended up getting any sort of affection from Juan Soto.
Maybe he was getting all the inside info from Juan himself. That maybe was. I don't know. But good for him. That is a... That's a sign of credibility for John Heyman.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. He's been working hard for a very long time with relationships. But it was funny after everything that happened to see that. But, you know, I know this is a highly emotional time for both Yankees and Mets fans, but to parse through his words yesterday and make assumptions or take something out of context and put it in some sort of weird, like, shot at the Yankees. I mean, this is what I heard from him yesterday. I heard that this was a guy who was waiting a very long time for free agency. And if, as we remember, he turned down hundreds of millions of dollars from two different organizations. He had been with the Washington Nationals. He had been with the San Diego Padres. And then he went to the New York Yankees. And at the end of the World Series, he said, hey, I am open to all 30 teams.
Open for business, baby. Let's go. Let's rock.
So four teams came up with big offers. And he looked at everything. The Mets had the highest offer. He also potentially liked some of the other perks that came with it. But clearly it was the most money. And he decided on that. And I don't think that he looked at the Yankees in a negative way. I don't believe that some of the stuff that you hear about he didn't like Aaron Judge or any of that stuff. I really believe that Juan Soto had waited all this time for this moment, and he was going to take the best offer.
And plus, he's also had great success at Citi Field, both as a National, Padre, or all three, and a Yankee. I don't know how he did against the Mets as a Yankee, but I will say that he took the most money, folks. He got the most money. He took the biggest signing bonus. He's making $61 million a year for the first 5 years of this contract. Wrap your head around that. It's $61 million when you tie in the $75 million check that Steve and Alex Cohen handed him yesterday.
Yeah.
And that $75 million check, obviously he'll pay some taxes on it, but because it's a bonus and because of where his residence is, he'll save $8 million in taxes, according to most of my tax people that, you know, I talk to about situations like this. And this is an investment by Steve Cohen, not only in the team, but in the bigger picture of what is going on here. And I do believe that he enjoyed his time at the Yankees. I do believe he loved being there and the roll call and everything else. But the Yankees just could not match what the Mets matched. And if you want to say it was the suite is a big deal. That is a big deal. That is a moneymaker for the Yankees. And usually they don't ever give a player a suite. A-Rod didn't get a suite. Jeter didn't get a suite. Mariano didn't get a suite. Roger Clemens, he was in a suite, but he didn't get a suite.
Yeah.
I mean, so they don't get, you know, Aaron Judge doesn't get a suite. And yeah. Aaron Judge is the best baseball player in the American League.
Yeah.
And maybe the second best baseball player on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that that definitely helped, but clearly it was the amount of money and the salary that, that was going to sway him. And the issue between the Yankees and the Mets and things shifting was not the fact that, that Juan Soto looked at the Mets as a more attractive organization or a better organization with a better future. This is the story. Steve Cohen, when he wants to flex his muscles, has more power to do so than the New York Yankees. That's the story.
Well, there's other parts of this, too. And one of those parts you and I witnessed, we both witnessed it at the same time. And it was at Boomer and Geo Live out at the Paramount when we met Jose Iglesias for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had the OMG diamond-crusted necklace around his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, man, that is awesome. Where'd you get that?
Yep.
What did he say?
Alex Cohen gave this to me. Mm-hmm.
So they get it. You know, these Alex and Steve Cohen get it. They know how to take care of their employees. They know how to, you know, actually say thank you for what you're doing for the team. And, I mean, it was just that to me, as a former player, that is insane that
yeah.
that happened in such a short period of time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So now it all starts. And you know, you could the Mets fans can be on cloud nine for a very long time, and they will be. But you know, this is now the expectations are there. This is not the fun Mets of last year where nobody expected anything, and the guys like Iglesias and Winker and everything else. This is now a powerhouse that is going to be looked at completely differently. But you know, and as far as like the pinstripes not mattering, and you hear those things. It didn't matter to Juan Soto. It doesn't mean it's not going to matter to somebody else.
It mattered to Aaron Judge.
Sure, it did. It just didn't matter to Juan Soto. And I mean, that's okay. But I'm telling you, if the deals were flipped and Hal Steinbrenner offered what Steve Cohen offered, he'd be a Yankee. He wasn't going to take less money to be a Met or a Blue Jay or a Red Sox because of the program that they're running. He would have been a Yankee, or he would have been a Blue Jay if they were the highest offer. It would have been a Red if Steve Cohen's offer was the Red Sox offer. He would have gone there.
I'm telling you, this thing has been trending towards the Mets' way for over 7 months, 8 months, even in the middle of last season when the Mets and the Yankees were playing against each other. Believe you me. I mean, this thing is Steve Cohen was not going to get outbid. He gave Juan Soto a family suite for every home game. He's got personal security for every home game. Like, they're not going to make... I mean, they basically bent over backwards. This is like Barry Bonds when he was with the Giants. Mm. Remember he had, like, three lockers, and it was like an office in a locker room?
Yeah.
Remember when Russell Wilson went to the Denver Broncos, and they gave him a parking spot, and they gave him an office in the building?
Yeah.
That's just what this is like.
Well, let's hope, though, that... I mean, so, all right, his family has a suite. That should not affect the players all that much, because I know they're all jacked up to have Juan Soto there. It's the clubhouse stuff. And as far as we know, Juan Soto is great in the clubhouse. But if it ends up being what Steve Phillips famously said when they turned down A-Rod, we don't want to have a 24-1 situation. If it starts turning into that, then that's a problem. But I don't believe that it will. I really think that Juan Soto is not going to be a prima donna here.
I would say if I were a player, I would be in awe of Juan Soto. And the reason I would be in awe of him is because how he went about his own personal business to get to this point, to get this much money. He turned down, at least three times, turned down extension offers earlier on in his career because he bet on himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that I totally respect
and
that.
And stayed healthy throughout.
Right. Nobody who's ever played a game could ever take that away from what Juan Soto has done here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that that's why there's a respect factor that's just built in. I think
there has to be.
This is not some schlub who ended up getting paid. Like, when he walks to that clubhouse, that respect factor is built in. And there were so many questions directed towards Juan Soto yesterday because it's New York and the press conference was in New York. Why the Mets over the Yankees? Why the Mets over the Yankees? And he said, and also Scott Boras said that, and I believe them when they said this, it wasn't about a Met or Yankee thing. It was about the four teams that had massive offers in front of him.
And the Mets gave him the biggest, most guaranteed money.
Right. They weren't like, is it the Mets or the Yankees? Is the Mets? No, it was like, all right, we got four serious organizations right here, and let's break it down. I mean, that's what it was.
And by the way, you know, maybe saving that $8 million on taxes with the $75 million signing bonus, you could pay Boris off for getting it done for you.
Yeah, true. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, without a doubt.
And yeah, I mean, that, it's a big part of it. I mean, when you start talking about money this big, maybe not for a guy like Steve Cohen because he's 10 times or 50 times that, but for the player himself, who's going to hit the while the iron is hot, which is what he and Shohei Ohtani have done. You want to try to mitigate your taxes as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, and I will say that, you know, I hate to have any negative thing towards this press conference, but there's no doubt that those pictures with him with the jersey when he was out at Citi Field up in the section putting his arms out, he did not look in shape.
Well, now, it's his off season. I mean, you know, you got to enjoy your life a little bit.
No, I know. But I will agree, like the Yankee fan loved that and they put that out there and they were making a big deal out of it. And obviously there's that negative connotation about someone who gets paid and all of a sudden gets fat and happy and the whole thing. And the Yankee fan had a laugh about that. But you really couldn't fight back on that. You really couldn't. I mean, he did not look in shape.
You know, I think, again, like for me, when I look at this, I think this is, if it weren't the Mets, this would be great for the Yankees because they can spend money on other areas where they need to spend money on and can get good players, if not great players, for those respective positions that are now open. And, you know, I just always felt like, I think it's an incredibly insane contract for a guy that can hit better than mostly everybody except for Aaron Judge. But I understand why Steve Cohen is doing it. And it's more than just the baseball part of it.
Yeah, and I do think that the longer this goes on, that Pete Alonso is going to come back on a shorter deal. I don't see anybody giving him a long deal. I could see the Mets giving him 3 years and an option, something like that, at lower money. And unfortunately for him, the deal that he turned down in the offseason, he's not going to get anywhere near that after the season that he had. And, you know, you put him in that lineup and the power that he's got, and he's a good enough first baseman. Obviously, he's not, you know, Will Clark over there. But the way he loves the Mets, the power that he has, Soto in that lineup, I mean, I think...
Now, here's one thing you're missing in this whole thing. And this, again, goes back to Scott Boras. Boras told him not to sign a contract. I mean, I guess you offered him the contract, said, here, this is what they want to give you. And then Pete said, well, what do you think? And Scott said, I can get you more than that. So here we go. Now it's up to Scott Boras to get that money back in Pete's bank account.
Well, yeah.
I want to see the agent that, you know, was standing out there yesterday, like proud as a peacock, do it for his player that he probably told him or advised him not to take.
Well, nobody thought he was going to have a year like he had. I mean, he was miserable. I mean, the numbers at the end of the season might have looked okay from a power standpoint, but we went through it throughout the year. A lot of them were meaningless home runs. He was terrible in clutch situations late in games.
I know it comes back to the player, but the agent's the one that's crowing about Pete now. What I'm saying to you is that the agent's trying to drum up as much support as he possibly can for Pete Alonso, and because he's got egg on his face too.
Sure. But I going back to that situation, I don't know if I would have done it any differently.
I'll tell you what, I'll be sitting down with Scott Boras and being like, you know, I turned down, what, $156 million?
Yeah, I forget exactly the number, but somewhere around
158, something like that, for like, what was it, 6 years, 7 years? It was whatever Freeman and Olson were making, somewhere right around what those guys are making.
Yeah.
I'm just, they just spent $750 million on one player.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, if I'm Scott Boras, I would have probably given Pete that same advice, not knowing that he was going to go out in 2024 and poop the bed.
Yeah, so, but I'm saying to you, in reaction to your thought, 3 years, shorter term, maybe a player option, Boras is out there trying to drum up support for a power hitter.
He's not going to get it. Well, he's just not going to get it. I mean, he's 30 years old, coming off his worst season. He's not going to get it. And if you want, and Pete, I actually believe, wants to be here more than other places. And I'm sure he wants to see this thing through, and I'm sure he wants to play in more NLCS and get to a World Series in a Mets uniform. So
if the Mets went, as you said, not me, I don't know what this is going to turn out to be, but 3 years with a player option, let's say at $25 million per, and let's say the Toronto Blue Jays come in and say, 5 years, $25 million per with a player option. What are you doing? He's going to go to Toronto.
Yeah, but I don't think he's done. If somebody gives him 5 years, 6 years, I'd be surprised. I mean, I really would at this point. I mean, he feels like one of these guys that, you know, by spring training doesn't have a contract and then works out down at the IMG Academy in Bradenton and ends up signing a one-year deal with the Rockies to go do it all over again.
No, he's not going
to
do that. He'll have a contract.
All right.
He will.
Do you think he's coming back? Because I do now. I think he's coming back.
I'm 50-50 on the whole thing, only because I think, you know, with Boris standing there like a proud peacock yesterday.
He should be, though.
He's got other players that he has advised not to sign deals that have, and those deals didn't come through, and they're not going to come through. I mean, so now he's got to do his work and got to do his due diligence. So he's going to get him as much money as he possibly can, and it doesn't matter who it's from. Could be from the Angels, could be for the Rangers, could be from the Giants. I mean, I don't know these teams. Who needs power hitters and who needs first baseman DHs? Who knows? But he's going to try to get him as much money and term as possible.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Giants Ravens tickets that we are giving away this hour, so stay tuned for that. Jerry Recco is back with us, and he's got an update. What's up, Jerry?
Well, we are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, we'll start with, where'd you guys go this morning? You want to start with the football? Yeah, let's do that. Well, no, we'll do the press conferences first. So we'll do the Juan Soto, then we'll get into the football because we have a lot of football on a football Friday. Here was Soto yesterday after being introduced. It's always goofy. They sit there and they take questions at the podium. Then they walk off and then we have to have more questions as opposed to when he was at the podium, but so be it. Soto was asked about picking the Mets instead of the Yankees. He doesn't quite see it that way.
I don't think it was the Mets over the Yankees. I think it was five teams that we have right there on the table. I don't think it had to do anything with the Mets or the Yankees. I think we have all five teams pushing into the last moment or to the last time of making the decision. And We went over the
Mets. I don't know the answer to this. I would love to know if anybody asked him if money was not even a question. Didn't matter. Same salary everywhere. Would you have picked the Mets? I'm sure he would have said yes.
He would have said yes, but that's the question. If the offers were flipped and the Yankees gave you everything the Mets did, would you be a Yankee today?
Yeah, exactly. Here was Scott Boras. He would not discuss the other side, meaning the Bombers.
First of all, when you're at a wedding, you don't talk about the bridesmaids. So I'm not here to address why or why not. You know, all I know is that I've been waiting a long time for Juan and the group to send me the signal of who I can close with and work out the final details.
And they do that with the Mets. So back to Soto, who says this was the best fit for me.
We look at everything. We look at the chances, and we look at what other teams want to do and what team everybody wants to do for the next 15 years, and I think we have the best chances over here.
How about that? The best chances right
and
here.
Those sitting in front of or behind Aaron Judge has worked out pretty good.
Oh, it did for him going into free agency. I mean, usually the Mets are the team that gets used in these situations, and it feels like the Yankees were used for 1 year.
Yeah, you know,
I want Soto to hit next to Aaron Judge and then get this contract.
It was brilliant that Brian Cashman made the trade to get him here, and it turned out to be great. Those two guys turned out to be great, and they went to the World Series. It's unfortunate the World Series ended the way it did, but I think if Brian Cashman had to predict what was going to happen when he added Juan Soto to the lineup, going to the World Series had to be his hopes and dreams, and they did that.
Yeah.
You know, and now, you know, those dreams are shattered, but he did a great job in bringing them in here, and they made an offer, but, you know, they weren't going to beat the Mets' offer. Come on.
Well, obviously you want to win, and you want to win a lot. How does signing Juan Soto accelerate things?
Already our lineup has gotten a lot stronger, and so that's a big deal. And so, you know, listen, I mean, Juan is an extraordinary player, but we still got to build a roster, right, of 26 players. And so, you know, I mean, but I think this is a big step forward.
But a lot more work to do is essentially what he is saying. So that was yesterday, the big Juan Soto day. It was also a big day for one Bill Belichick, who was introduced at the University of North Carolina as their new head coach. Here was Belichick. Will you be hands-on with finding players as you take on this new role and going to college?
Well, look, I think the recruiting process belongs to everyone. It belongs to Michael and his scouting staff and evaluations and setting that up in the recruiting department in terms of making this an attractive visitor or destination for the athlete. But it's also part of the coaching job, and certainly a head coach has a big role in that as well.
And I'm not sure if when he was the coach in New England, if he ever said it's a Super Bowl or failure. I don't know. I really don't know. I know Derek Jeter always said World Series or a failure of a season. He was asked how he would define success here now.
Well, success is, it's a day-by-day process. And the only thing we can really do anything about is, you know, today, tomorrow, what's immediately in front of us. So take advantage of every opportunity we have to build the team, improve the team, get better, and keep stringing a lot of good days together, and the results will come.
And that's success.
Yeah.
That's an interesting answer.
How many shirts do you have that are older than your girlfriend, Bill?
Probably
five,
most of
10.
NC State quarterback CJ Bailey had a message for Bill. He's clearly excited to be going up against him now in the near future.
Bill Belichick will get it too, man. We go 5 years, you know, we go, no matter who the coach is for UNC, we go kick them.
What would that mean to you, though, that you could potentially
that means a lot that I could play against Bill Belichick, you know, meet him, you know. But, shoot, if he comes to play, we go kill him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Knowing Bill Belichick, that would be the first thing that he plays.
We're going to kill him.
Right, that's the first thing he's going to play.
I do love that. That is pretty funny.
To his team, to his new team.
Oh, I'm sure. All right, let's get to the NFL now because we got some good stuff last night. Rams, Niners. Now, you do remember Debo Samuel was not happy. Why, recently?
He wasn't getting the ball.
Yeah. Right, so last night he had an opportunity.
Two receivers left and right. Shotgun snap. Purdy back. Throws over the middle. Drop by Debo Samuel. And he can't believe it. If Samuel catches that pass, he might be celebrating in the end zone right now. Instead, the 49ers will bring the field goal team out.
Oh, my God. Did he put anything out on social media?
No, but he did talk afterwards.
Did he say, like, the ball was too low and
nope. He
couldn't make the catch?
Nope, not at all. They wound up losing to the Rams 12-6 in a field goal game in a muck fest last night with the rain. Here was Samuel. He knows drops like that cannot happen.
Real weird. Like, end of the day, like, it's that ball. It's nothing there but the end zone. They just got to catch that rock.
Got to catch the rock. That is true. Here is Kyle Shanahan.
Well, now we know why they're not throwing it to him as much.
Here was Shanahan.
That was a big one. The third down, and, you know, with Debo's skill set, I would have been shocked if he didn't score on the play. So, everyone knows the answer to that. Debo, too, he needs to catch that ball. And then we were just off on that post down the field to Ricky right there, two plays before the interception. That could have been a big one, too.
So not a great night for the Niners. Then you also had Devondre Campbell leaving.
Huh.
Didn't feel like playing any longer, as Shanahan did tell us when he was asked in the post game.
What happened with Devondre Campbell? He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point?
Yeah, he said he didn't want to play today.
Play today?
Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So
during the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
Now, during the warm-up show, Al was talking about how a lot, and he's right, a lot of these coaches are very, not all of them, but a lot of them are very soft-spoken, and it's a different time. And I bring you back to when the Niners had a guy like Mike Singletary running the show, how he would have handled this guy.
It is more about them than it is about the team. Yeah. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them.
Can't do it.
I want winners.
That's great.
I love that
was
that
with
guy.
Vernon Davis, right?
Yeah, Vernon Davis. So. Yeah. Was, yes.
Can't do it.
Here's Shavarius Ward. Terrible that he quit on us.
Definitely hurt the team because, you know, D went down. And we needed a linebacker, you know. And I think Flynn was banged up, too. So for him to do that, that's some sucker stuff to me, in my opinion. Like, it's probably going to get cut soon, so, you know, it is what it is with that.
Yeah, I'm sure he
100%.
Will get cut soon.
Sucker stuff. I thought what George Kittle was even, you know, more.
I just recorded it for next hour.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah.
Yep. So we will get to him. Brock Purdy, by the way, in the loss, 14 of 31, 142, and an interception in the Rams end zone in the fourth quarter with his team down 9-6. Field goal would have tied it, but he gets intercepted, and then the Rams go down and kick another field goal, and that's where the final comes from. Matthew Stafford, 16 of 27 for 160. Jets Jaguars on Sunday. Can't wait. Here's Aaron Rodgers. Can Sunday's play in Miami carry over to this week?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think we did some good things. You know, we still were 4 for 12, I think, on third downs, and 2 for whatever, like 4 or 5 in the red zone. So situation football hasn't been great for us, and that's why we haven't got to 30. 30 is kind of the magic number, so still trying to get there.
Meaning 30 points. And then while they're playing the Jaguars, thankfully at the same time, the Giants will probably be getting their teeth kicked in by the Ravens. But there are things to play for. Malik Nabers can still get to 1,000 yards receiving his rookie year, and he is aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, as a receiver, that's your landmark for over a year. College, whether it be, you know, the league, you want to hit 1,000 yards. So, yeah, 1,000 yards is, you know, is in my head for sure.
Mm. And he also said, and to do with these bum-ass quarterbacks would be really something special.
Wow.
Do we have any idea what's going on with LeBron James?
I think he's taking time away.
He's just walking away from his team? He's like a Devondre Campbell.
I don't know. They can bring Bronny back, though. He had like 30-something points in a G League game.
All right. Well, maybe he's fine this game. Whatever. Yeah, come on. But, I mean, he's just leaving?
Yeah, I don't know the details. Obviously, it's got to be. I mean, this is a guy who played 82 games last year and wanted to do it this year. So the fact that he's stepping away for some reason that isn't injury related, it must be serious.
I mean, he's stepping away for how long? I mean, I know they have a game tonight.
I love when you ask the same question over and over again. We don't have answers to. This is my favorite one of the games that we play.
I have no idea.
No one has any idea.
Just testing you guys to see, like, I don't know if he said anything that I didn't see. Maybe you saw something that I didn't see. I don't know.
I did not.
I mean, you're a sports reporter.
He goes,
and you're the host.
steps away for personal reasons. So, I mean, that's all.
But you're the sports reporter.
You're the seven-figure host. You want me to have the answers. The Dolphins, by the way, releasing Odell Beckham Jr. so he can go latch on with another team and maybe win another Super Bowl. We shall see. We get to the hockey from last night. The Rangers were off. Yeah, the Devils playing the Kings. I'm sure you will love this call from our guy, Matt Lachlan.
Errant pass at center ice, grabbed by Pesci. Gives it to Jack. Snipper block. Pesci follows up. He scores!
Whoa.
Brett Pesci with his first of the year. It's a shorty, baby, and the Devils lead 3-1.
Oh. Danny, Kings are a good team, and so are the Devils. That's a good win for them, Jerry.
It was a good win.
Very good.
Jack Hughes actually had the go-ahead goal and two assists. Andre Palat scored as well. The Devils get the win 3-1.
I can tell you, he would never make it on the Masked Singer. Everybody would know who he was right away.
Oh!
It's Matt Lachlan. He's in that thing. We know it.
Yeah, that's funny. Good win, though, for sure. The Islanders. So I'll play the one goal first, and then we'll catch you up on how the game ended.
They work it to Thompson, hoping for a tip. Comes to Palmieri. Palmieri to the net. Siplikov scores! Max Siplikov jamming away, and the Islanders have taken control here in the third period.
Yeah, they led 5-1, and it seemed like this game was over, dead, and buried. By the way, Alex Cohen at that game. I saw pictures online. But the Blackhawks got a few goals late and wound up, the Islanders wound up winning 5-4. Patrick Waugh says, yeah, we got the 2 points, but what the hell was that ending?
Let's not kid ourselves. A win is a win.
Right.
Let's be happy about winning the hockey game. But deep inside, we know that we can't do what we did in the end of the game. That the guy will know for sure. Anyway, they're going to listen to what you're saying. You read the paper and listen to the radio, so they'll know already.
All right, so I guess they'll know. But they do win the game in regulation 5-4.
I mean, they I've never seen a team in any sport blow leads like that team. And it has gone on for 2 years now. And in this one, they didn't fully blow, but they came close.
They did come close. Absolutely, 5-4. And I know the Chicago scored that last goal with only 10 seconds to go in regulation, I think. But still, they got it to 5-4. Tomorrow, you got Army-Navy. It's 3 o'clock on CBS. Here is Jeff Monk, an Army head coach, just loves being a part of this.
This game rolls around each year, and we have an opportunity to talk about this rivalry and talk about this game and just what it's like. It is almost indescribable, just the intensity on each play of this game.
And I know something you are obviously very familiar with.
Yes, and it's great. And we got the jerseys in front of us here. I'm still wondering, you know, is which commander-in-chief is going? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I
haven't read anything, haven't heard anything. I don't know if...
I say Jill Biden will be there.
Oh. Jill?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. She's the commander-in-chief?
I didn't say that, okay. But you're asking me who's going to represent. I say Jill Biden will be there. The first lady will be at this tomorrow. I don't know that. That's my guess. So that's tomorrow, 3 o'clock.
All right.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, driving in this morning, I heard a couple of things. One was that wrong promo where the Giants and the Ravens were playing, and I did something about that. I texted our program director right away and said, hey, this game's at MetLife Stadium. It's not in Baltimore. Told Eddie, got that done. Quality control. That's what I'm all about. But I heard something else that I thought you would be very interested in. So remember and it's a great message. Don't get me wrong. It's a great message. But there's that PSA about drinking and driving and how you should call a ride if you're drinking too much. And
that's Tiki, right?
Well, no, Tiki's a speeding guy. He does the speeding PSA. So this one's like, uh-oh, you know, Brad's having a good time. He's getting the woots.
Oh, this is where you guys put me in. Yeah. You put drops in there, yes.
Right. So then we put you in there and like, uh-oh, you know, Boomer's having a good time. Oh, crap, CeeLo, that whole thing.
Yes.
So you're not going to believe it. So they did a new one.
Okay.
For this. And
I could not believe who they chose to do it. I mean, and this guy just ends up everywhere now. He's got a little more time on his hands, so I guess he's taken
I know who it is.
Every job that's being handed to him. So let's take a listen.
Uh-oh.
Phil.
It's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
Taking balance of nature makes me feel happy.
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Once I did it with four women.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're hot, Boomer.
So that's good. So Phil's got balance of nature, and now he's got this PSA out there.
Good for him.
Yeah. Starting with the woots and the fox sound is just amazing.
Oh!
Yeah, who'd you think it was going to be that I was going to say?
Oh, I thought it was going to be AI voice.
Oh, no, not AI voice. We got to do something with that AI voice guy, though. I mean, he's doing one of those boner pill commercials, too, I see, that runs during SportsCenter. So it's the AI voice that does the Instagram reels.
Yes,
be like,
yes.
This is the best chicken parm sandwich you get in New York City. Like that voice. And then Darius Perduke is a predator. So now he does the boner pill commercials. He's like, you pick what milligrams you want for your sildenafil. I'll take 100 milligrams. Thank you very much. And now he's also doing the Security Dodge commercials. So this guy's getting more work than anybody.
Well, it's not really a guy, so.
Well, you know voice. What I mean. I like to think of him as an entity.
But was it modeled after Larry, though, or not?
No, I mean, sounds just like him, but
here's
no.
Here's the deal. It's a.
Larry Mullen's a 10-10 win.
Right. But it is a prime example of how AI is now invading the space, you know, the voiceover space.
Yeah, exactly. But when it comes to endorsements and things like that, the AI voice can't take those away because no one's interested in what the AI voice is endorsing. But as far as actually reading stuff and people who get hired to read commercials and do voiceovers, that's a problem for them. And that's why SAG-AFTRA had a big strike. That was part of the reason why they were fighting so long was stuff like this.
Yes, it's like the guys on the docks. They're threatening to strike because they don't want automation to take over. They don't want to lose their jobs.
The longshoremen?
Yes, right. That's exactly right.
Well, they came to an agreement there.
It's a tentative agreement. It's not really a total agreement.
It expires next month.
Right. Oh, okay. They wanted to pass it on to the next administration. They want to make it their problem. Like, they want to make everything their problem now. So they're doing everything they possibly can to make the transition, you know, impossible.
Let's go to Glenn in Syosset. What's going on, Glenn?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
All right, What's up, man?
First time caller. You know, I tried calling you guys last Thursday before he signed. I was driving over a bridge. Gio, you put me through, and the call dropped.
Ah.
And I was calling then to, it's amazing, right? Good timing. I was calling then to say I did not want Soto. I did not want him for that amount of money. I think he's a great player. I don't want to take that away. But I think what the Yankees are doing now by getting a great starting pitcher, possibly pulling the trigger on this kid Tucker, and then start filling some holes at first base and build up the bullpen. I hate to say it. I know I sound like a bitter Yankee fan, but I really feel that better off.
I think you're a practical Yankee fan. I think you're a practical Yankee fan, honestly. It's not you're bitter. This is what I've been saying about your team. I mean, you do have Aaron Judge there to be the leader of the team. He's the captain of the team. And now you have more money to spend to fill other spots. And you started that by adding Max Fried. So, to me, it's practical for the Yankees not to go all the way out there for $765 million.
Well, and when he kind of just casually threw in there, you know, pull the trigger on this kid Tucker. I mean, that if they traded for Kyle Tucker, that would be a massive win for them. I mean, the guy is one of the better all-around players in the American League. He's been awesome for the Houston Astros.
Why wouldn't Houston keep him?
Because they can't pay, and they're not going to be able to pay him. You know, they've let guys go. I mean, you know, George Springer, they had to let go. You know, they couldn't keep Verlander for another year, even though he ended up back there. But they don't have the money that these other teams have.
Man, it's amazing.
Correa is another one they had to let go.
Yeah, no, all the success that they have had since they tore it all the way down. You remember they tore it all the way down, and they were terrible for like 3 to 4 years. Then all of a sudden they started to come back, and that's when they started to pluck different guys like Scherzer and Verlander and people like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, now you're telling me that they can't afford these players?
Well, not all of them. Yeah, I mean, we've seen it, though. It's been a trend. Like, Like Yordan Alvarez stays. Altuve stayed. You know, but, you know, Bregman stayed for a while, but now he's up. And if they re-sign him, so they're thinking like, okay, we could trade Kyle Tucker and get a ton back if we're not going to sign him. And we might as well dangle him out there to see what we can get.
You know, it's amazing. So Jose Altuve is the highest paid guy on their team at $32.5 a year. Then Josh Hader at 19. Then Framber Valdez at 18.8. Then Lance McCullers at 17.7, and then Kyle Tucker at 16.7. You gotta tell me they can't afford Kyle Tucker?
Well,
I know he's arbitration three, but like, why can't they?
No, because when he comes up for free agency, he's gonna get like $500 million. That's why. Not for this year, but he's more attractive when he's got a year of control.
Well, his estimate for this year is going to be $16.5 million, and it would be like adding Juan Soto. Because he'll be here for a year, and then next year he's a free agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the same kind of thing.
Exactly. So that's what they're looking at. So as opposed to maybe trading him at the trade deadline, they're thinking, hey, we can get more if we trade him now and the team gets a full season out of him. That's just the philosophy there. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm not saying I agree with it, but they feel like they probably are not going to give them that big contract.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.